by a million miles, the most joy-making and soul-enhancing audiobook I have heard today, I've just listened to. Now, it's a podcast by a woman who has been missing from the podcasting airwaves for months now. And she was coming back to the audio boo community, but also, well, I assume that her audios are shared in other places. But the key point was that it was just stunning to listen to her talking about why she has been silent, why she has not recorded any podcasts, and also why she hasn't listened to any. And I can think of loads of reasons why it's a good thing for somebody to not spend time attending to the content produced by other people. You know, I've been in that situation myself, and I can think of lots of reasons. I wouldn't be short of being able to think of 10 good reasons why you shouldn't pay any attention to anybody else's content at a certain point in your life. And Ruth, R2UK, I hope I haven't made a mistake about her podcasting name, but had the most fabulous, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, reason for staying away. And it is that she basically went into Amdram and had to and recorded and sorry and performed in a theatrical production, and she did this after 10 years being off the stage, and it, to me, to hear that a human being has got back on, forgive the metaphor, back on the horse after not having ridden it for 10 years is and there's more to being on a stage than getting on a horse. There is real, you know, publicly putting yourself on the line. The fear of disgrace, the fear of shame, the possibility that you do a Stephen Fry on it. You know, all of these things, the all actors' nightmare. Is all there, is all real. You know, nobody can assume that it's going to be all sailing, and Ruth didn't. And today she came back into the podcasting world and shared her reasons, and she apologized. You know, that was very polite of her to apologize. But my goodness, what a joy it is to hear. And I have a son who's an actor, so, and I have my entire experience of being on a stage, Ruth, was that I once rehearsed Hamlet, and I once rehearsed Julius Caesar in a sort of short version of both plays, which never got put on for the parents. Let me just put it that way, at school prize nights. Now, that's another story I've never told anybody. In a podcast before, and that can wait, because I don't want to steal any thunder away from your magnificent reason for doing it and the joy with which you come back. And I have to say this, and I will say it publicly, that the rapport with which I feel towards Ruth for what she's done is has been enhanced by her absence. Yeah, and that's a bit of a, it might sound like a very contradictory thing to say, but it's almost like as if I feel now I'm going to have a better relationship with Ruth because she took time out, prioritized it, and then comes back and explains what she was doing, that she was driving up and down the road with her lines playing in her ears so that she might let them sink in. And I totally, you know, never learned lines for a play. I mean, I presume I learnt them. I learnt bits of Hamlet, but or bits of a spoof on Hamlet, to be truthful. But I don't remember how on earth I did it. And anyway, I was only about 17 or something like that, 16. Maybe, no, I was even younger probably. I was probably about 16. And anyway, I never actually got to have a first night even. So, you know, you go with your great regrets in life, and one of them was that I never had a chance to, you know, throw up before I went on stage. You know, that's a reference to a great Irish comedian Maureen Potter, who was the greatest comedian, certainly the greatest female comedian, the woman comedian that Ireland has ever produced, I suspect, even better than Pauline McGinn. She, that's not disrespectful to that wonderful woman from Father Ted, who is fantastic. But anyway, the point about this is that I'm this is taking me into places that are stirring my memory and my associations and everything. So a huge thanks to Ruth for doing it. And now I get to the PS, and this is almost like the PS de resistance, because I feel sad and disappointed, but also perfect, because it's given me a chance to say one of the series of audiobooks that I would love to hear. And to a certain extent, Nick Holloway Vox put me in mind of this the other day, when he did an audiobook about, in a theatrical mode, I'm just going to say that. But the point about this is how wonderful it would be to have a series of audiobooks by somebody who was going to be in a troupe of actors and going to perform. You know, how they learned their lines, bits from the whole the show in advance. I mean, it's such a rich seam. And I really do believe that there would be a lot of people. It's a great understatement. There would be a lot of people interested. I'd be riveted if I had available to me a diary of an actor. And I don't mind how professional or unprofessional or amateur or how gifted they are or anything. In fact, but provided they, you know, shared what it was really like, and that it wasn't just dressed up in the form of, and provided it was a journey. I'm a great believer that there is more endorphins to be secreted in the chase towards something than there is in the capture. Now that has I won't even try to back that up with evidence from biology, but I assure you that there is research evidence to say that when a cheetah is chasing after an antelope, that when you measure the amount of endorphins, when the quarry is killed and the food is about to be eaten, the level of brain excitement drops down rather than goes up. It's at its greatest during the chase. But my goodness, what a rich experience Ruth has had. And, you know, and far be it from me to suggest to her that she should have done anything. I mean, that's not my job or my wish, even. My wish is to find out where I'm going in the car. But the whole point about this is for the future. And if there are, and I hope there will be, actually, any of you out there listening to this at any time at all, and you're going to be in a stage performance, it doesn't matter if it's a thriller like Ruth's was, you know, could be a performance of, you know, anything from, you know, Macbeth, Henry V, I don't care whether you're playing, you know, First Night, or whether you're playing Ophelia, or whatever you're playing, I, for one, absolutely love the audio diary. And that is something that would enhance my life. No end. Because my son is an actor, I've had some opportunity to speak with him about how he prepares for... He's a professional actor. How he prepares for his stage work. I can never get enough of this. Never get enough. But it's not that I would like... I would love a sort of account from the perspective of having done it by any actor or any person who's put themselves on the line. But it's actually the real live one, that I am, you know, the one where you actually follow day to day, or that's too much. I don't see why it should be. After all, Tony Benn recorded a daily political diary. And if he could do it, I don't see why an actor can't do it. And it doesn't actually matter how long the audiobooks are. They could be as long as mine, you know, which, of course, would be absolutely, I don't care what length. The main length is the one that suits the person who's making the audio, as far as I'm concerned. What can I say but the most heartfelt thanks to Ruth for the joy that she's given me in listening to her return to Audioboo, and for the experience I'm really getting into trouble here. For the experience of listening to her, and listening to the tone of her voice as she, you know, told the story. It's a model of, I'm not going to set myself up as in judgment over it, but all I can say is that I am so grateful to Ruth. And, you know, even if nobody ever does this on Audioboo, nobody ever sort of says, okay, I'm going to break my leg, and you might as well listen to how I do it. If nobody does that, I will have been pleased that I have finally voiced something that for a very long time I've been sitting on top of, a sort of wish to take a theatre in hand, to myself, to literally take a theatre in hand and to take them through the process of making transparent what happens within a theatre. And I also include, when I use the word theatre, a circus. I would have no, if any of you are, let us make sure that this isn't ambiguous. If any of you are trapeze artists and you're about to go on stage to do your, you know, it doesn't matter, your 100,000 walk, then please, it's about the sharing of anxiety, the sharing of anxiety that makes us human, the sharing of difficulty, that whole side of it. I'm more interested, to be truthful, in the sharing of difficulty than I am the sharing of success. Anyway, this is now wafts onto more, you know, personal statements about my philosophy in life, which is, you know, of incredible interest to me. And that's all I can say about that. But I will actually say that it's been a good day, been a great day. March the 24th, just after the Ides of March, eh? And 'tis Cassius with his lean and hungry look, or 'tis Casca, I know him by his gait, or it too, you bloody brute, sticking me in the gullet with your knife. Thanks very much, Ruth. You are one hell of a brick.